For our New Testament reading and the sermon passage this morning, please turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 9 through 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. You'll find that on page 989 of the Bibles provided if you'd like to turn there. If your Bibles probably have a paragraph break there between verses 12 and 13. And so the first few verses that we're going to read are still talking about the topic of the Antichrist that we dealt with last time, that man of lawlessness, and the kind of people who followed him. But then the verses we're going to be focusing on, verses 13 to 15, make a contrast with those people who are following the Antichrist. And Paul points out what makes the Thessalonians different from the people who will fall away and follow the Antichrist when he comes. And so listen for that contrast here between those two groups of people. This is 2 Thessalonians verses 9 through 15. This is the word of God. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. May the Lord bless the reading of his perfect word. You wouldn't know about Jesus if it wasn't for the apostles. I don't know if you've ever really thought about that before, but Jesus didn't physically write any of the words of the New Testament. Jesus entrusted his apostles with a message for all people, for all generations. He told his apostles what to say about the gospel and about many other truths, and he gave them the authority to speak in a way that no one has ever since. That the apostles brought the word of God from Jesus Christ. Over the course of 60 to 70 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, the apostles preached and they wrote and they gave the church this word of God, this apostolic word of God, meaning from the apostles. And here in verse 15, Paul and Silas and Timothy tell the Thessalonians to stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. And so you have to remember here that the Thessalonians didn't have most of the New Testament yet. So the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were some of the earliest books that were written. So when they were living, most of that apostolic word of God, that word that Jesus had given his apostles, was being passed on verbally. And there were a few letters, like 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, that had been written by this time. And over time, it became a fully written word so that we have the full apostolic tradition in the New Testament. But what Paul is saying here is that for them not to be like those people who will fall away and be deceived by the Antichrist or deceived by false teachers, they needed to hold fast, to stand firm and hold fast to that apostolic word of God. And friends, the same is true today. We have that complete apostolic testimony in the New Testament. We have the complete Word of God in the Old and New Testaments. And there are Christians today who distrust or undermine parts of the New Testament especially. They'll say, well, that's just Paul's opinion. And Paul was a product of his time. Or that's just what Peter said. We don't really need to pay attention to what they say. We can kind of take what they say with a grain of salt. We need to pay attention to what Jesus says. But those are just those men that sort of interpreted what Jesus said. But friends, that ignores the way that Jesus chose to bring the truth to us. That he chose to give us his word through his apostles. And they spoke with special authority. And so we are still responsible today to hold on to that apostolic word of God. So brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the apostolic word of God. Stand firm and hold fast to the apostolic word of God. And Paul encourages the Thessalonians here with three reasons why it's so important to hold on to that word that the apostles gave us. Why it's so important in our lives. And first of all, the first reason is that believing the apostles' message is a sign that God loves you and chose you. Believing the apostles' message is a sign that God loves you and chose you. As I said before we read the passage here, there's a connection here between the verses 9 through 12 and verses 13 to 15. Because verses 9 through 12 are talking about this group of people, and it's talking especially in the future about this group of people who will be deceived by the Antichrist and who will fall away from the Christian faith that they had professed. People who refuse to believe the gospel and have been deceived and have followed him. And so he describes them as those who have refused to love the truth and so be saved, who believe what is false, who take pleasure in unrighteousness. And Paul knows that these people already existed then and they already exist now. There are lots of people who don't believe the gospel and who will scoff and laugh at us for believing the New Testament to be the word of God. We'll be surrounded by people like that. The Thessalonians were in their time. And Paul is then tells them in verses 13 through 15 why they're different, why the Thessalonians should expect to stand out, should expect to look different from that crowd of unbelievers around them. And he comforts them here by saying, the reason that they look different, that you look different if you believe in Jesus Christ, is because God chose you. It's because God loves you. He calls them those who are beloved by the Lord. And that God chose you as the first fruits to be saved. This, when he talks about this love, he's talking about that saving love of God. This is the same love that Paul talks about in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. He says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He's saying, if you have been saved, if you believe, it's because God loved you first. It's because God set his special love by his grace on you and gave you that faith and grabbed a hold of you and saved you. John talks about this in 1 John 3, verse 1. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. John's giving us that same idea that we should expect there to be a difference between people on the outside who don't believe, and who don't understand why we believe, and those of us who have been loved by God and chosen to be saved through nothing that we have done. Paul says something similar in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. He says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Our faith in the Word of God, our belief that this is true, is only because God has given us that. It's only because of his grace to us. So then what's the connection with the apostles' message specifically? Well, believing the apostles' message specifically is a sign of God's loving choice to save us. Paul said this back in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 4 and 5. The Thessalonians had already heard this back in 1 Thessalonians. He told them, for we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Paul tells them, we know that God chose you because we saw the fruit of the Spirit in you, that you heard the gospel and you believed it. You heard the apostles' message and you believed it. So believing what the apostles say is a sign that God loves you and has chosen you. Without the Spirit regenerating you and giving you, illuminating your mind to understand it, you wouldn't understand it. And so, again, we should expect there to be a difference between us, for everyone who believes, and everyone who doesn't believe. We should expect to look different, and we shouldn't be surprised if the world doesn't understand why we believe that this is the very Word of God. When I was growing up, my family grew up sort of steeped in a musical family. That was just part of what our family did all the time. And a big part of that was in family worship, that I was looking at notes on the page every single day. And in the process, I learned to sing a line of music off a piece of paper without ever really working at it myself. I didn't ever put in the blood, sweat, and tears to learn that like many people do, because it was just part of what it meant to be part of our family. We just did that every day over and over again. And I found when I got older, I realized most people don't have that in their families growing up. And I recognized it was a gift, it was something I had been blessed with, and it was something that made I approach music differently from how some other people do. And maybe there's something like that in your own life, something that your family or your group of friends have always done together that you know how to do. Maybe in some families it's another language. Maybe you grew up in a bilingual family and you know another language that most people don't, and you only know it because you're part of that family. And it's you understand that other people won't get that, and you'll think differently from other people. And in the same way, but a much, much weightier way, weightier sense, as God's people, we understand the Word of God in a way that people outside won't. And people only come to faith, we have only come to faith, because God blesses us and opens our eyes to understand the Word of God. And so we shouldn't expect to be just like everybody else. We shouldn't be surprised when other people don't interpret the Bible the same way. And we also should cherish this gift that God has given us, that we get to understand the Scriptures. So when you are surrounded by people who say, well, this is just an old book with opinions from people 2,000 years ago, and they were biased, or they were misogynist, or they were whatever accusations they throw at people in New Testament times, they might discount the Word of God. Don't be surprised by that. And don't be shaken by it, but hold fast to the Word of God, knowing that it's a gift from God that you even believe it in the first place. And also, I would encourage you that as you open your Bible every day, or as you look at the Word of God, that you appreciate, even as you start to read those words, you appreciate that the only reason you understand it, the only reason you are fed by it, is because the Spirit is working in you. It's all by God's grace. It's nothing that we deserve or that we have earned. Learn to cherish the Word of God that He's given us, because it's because of His love for us. Now, as I said, it almost seems inappropriate to compare the idea of reading music or speaking another language to being able to understand the Word of God, because it is so critical. And that's another thing that Paul points out here, that the apostles' message is the only way to be saved. We need to hold fast to this apostolic Word of God, because believing the apostles' message is the only way to be saved. In verse 13 here, Paul says the Thessalonians were saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. The Spirit is the one who sanctifies us. He sets us apart as holy. He regenerates us. He gives us a new heart and new eyes to see. And we are saved by faith. We accept who Jesus is. We confess our sin and we trust in Him by faith. That's how we're saved. But then Paul tells the Thessalonians how that happens. He says that it happened. He says, to this He called you through our gospel. Yes, we're saved by the Spirit's work in our hearts and through faith, but that ordinarily only happens through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of the apostolic message that Jesus gave His disciples. These are familiar words, but Paul says this in Romans 10, verses 14 to 17. He says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. And remember, the Word of Christ that he's talking about was given to us through the apostles. That Jesus entrusted His apostles with it and sent them out, and they have entrusted it to faithful men and women over many generations. And that's why you and I believe, if you believe. It's because God entrusted these people. Jesus entrusted the apostles with this message. It's the only way, ordinarily, that we can be saved. I think how often as you read through Paul, I would encourage you as you're reading your Bible, that as you read through Paul, notice how often he talks about what he received and what he's passing on. How often he talks about how he received something from Jesus and now he's passing on that truth. That's how God has chosen to work. That's what Jude verse 3 is talking about when he talks about contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. How was that delivered? It was delivered through the apostles. And so we have to, the only way that we're saved is through hearing that apostolic gospel that Jesus gave to them to pass on to us. And Paul calls these traditions here, if you look at verse 15, he talks about the traditions that he's passed down. But they're not traditions in the sense that they're just something that people have passed down. They're traditions that come directly from Jesus Christ. And they have been saved for us and kept in perfect form in the New Testament, these apostolic truths that Christ gave them. Friends, your eternal life depends on that apostolic message. You and I would not be saved today if the apostles had not passed on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You would have no hope of peace with God. You would have no hope of escaping the punishment of hell if you had not believed the apostles' message. If they had not passed that on faithfully. And notice here he doesn't just say hold to the gospel that we preached. And it doesn't really matter about the rest of those details that we talked about. He says hold to the traditions, plural. This whole apostolic message, all of the topics that are covered in the New Testament, hold together. They're all part of that apostolic foundation that Jesus in his providence and in his wisdom established for us and delivered to us through the apostles. You and I need to hold fast to every word of it, not just the parts that seem essential or seem like the core of the gospel. In the Apollo 13 disaster, that was many of us are familiar with through the movie, but it was a real event during that disaster when the command module of that spacecraft had a malfunction, the astronauts in the command module had to move into the lunar module, which was not designed for them to stay in for that long. And one of the problems they encountered was that the filters weren't designed to last long enough to filter out enough of the carbon dioxide for them to survive all the way to get back to Earth. And so the people at NASA were having to figure out a way to use the filters from the command module, which were square, to work in the lunar module where the filters were round. And if you've seen the movie, there's this great scene where they have all the whole team of people working on this problem together. But in reality, it was one person named Ed Smiley who came up with the solution. He came up with a way of crafting an air filter from only materials that they had on the spacecraft to filter that air and save those men's lives. And so he wrote down a long list of explicit instructions that he gave to the radio operator who passed them on to the men on the Apollo 13 mission. And they followed those instructions step by step, and it saved their lives. Their lives depended on that message. But friends, how ludicrous would it have been for them to play fast and loose with those instructions and to just say, well, you know, we're not going to pay real close attention to this. It doesn't really matter. It mattered. Their lives depended on it. Or how absurd would it have been for them to say, well, we don't really know that this is what Mr. Smiley said. This is just from the radio operator. And so we're going to try to figure out what he really meant, even though he gave it to the radio operator to give to us. But friends, when we discount the words of the apostles, when we discount the way that God has chosen to give us his word, that life-saving word, we're in danger of hellfire. When we teach people not to trust the word of God, not to trust the way that he has given us to know Jesus Christ, we are messing with eternal life. We need to hold fast to the way that God has given us to know Jesus Christ and be saved. For those of you who are parents with children in the home, there are all kinds of theories out there about how to present the gospel to your children, how to raise your children in the faith, and how to what experiences they need to have and all these other things. But are you bringing them the apostolic word of God? Are you making the Bible, and especially the gospel of Jesus Christ, through his word, a regular part of their lives? Are you reading it together in family worship? Are you teaching them to read the Bible for themselves? Because you can talk about all the theories of how to present the gospel to your children, but what they need is the way that God has always saved his people, which is through his word that he entrusted to his disciples. As I've said, there are many Christians today who discount parts of the Bible, especially the New Testament, and say, well, those are Paul's opinions. That's Paul, that's not Jesus. So when someone says that, how do you respond? Are you shaken by that? Do you know how to respond to that? Do you see from what we've been talking about here why it's so important to accept what Jesus' own apostles say to us? Eternal life is on the line if we reject parts of what the apostles have passed on to us. Ultimately, we're left creating our own idea of what Jesus should be like. And it's easy to create a nice, comfortable version of Jesus if we want to, if we can eliminate everything we don't like from the New Testament. But all of it together is his apostolic truth that he's given to us through these apostles. Now, the apostolic message isn't just about being saved from something. It also tells us what we're looking forward to through Jesus Christ. So thirdly, hold fast to this apostolic word of God, because believing the apostles' message is the only way to glory. Believing the apostles' message is the only way to glory. I've said many times recently that Paul was writing to persecuted Christians. These were Christians who were suffering for their faith. And Christians who are being persecuted need to know about what they're saved from, but they need even more to know about what they're looking forward to. That after this suffering, what they will have through Jesus Christ. And so Paul reminds them here in verse 14, he says that God called them through their gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same message that Paul gives in Romans 8, 17 and 18, where he says that we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul tells them here, you're looking forward to glory with Jesus Christ. When we follow him in his path of suffering in this life, when we name the name of Christ, we trust in him, we will also be glorified with him. We're looking forward to glory. These are people who are being excluded. They were losing their jobs, maybe even losing their lives for being Christians. And it's so hard to be different. It is so hard to stand out. It is so hard to have to stand when everybody else is going the other way and to say, no, this is right. I believe in Jesus Christ, and this is what he has told me to do. But we need to know this apostolic truth if we're going to be able to do that, and if so that we will continue to be with Christ in glory. John, it's interesting, you may not notice this reading through this if you don't think about it, but when in Revelation, when John gives a vision of the New Jerusalem, it's a vision of this amazing, beautiful, glorified city. And he talks about how beautiful it is. The foundation stones are precious gems, and the gates are pearls, and the streets are paved with gold. And it's a picture of the glory of Christ's bride, as she's described. It's the church in her glory, in the new heavens and the new earth. But do you remember what's written on those foundation stones? Thought on those 12 foundation stones are the names of the 12 apostles. The gates have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the believers of the old covenant. But the church that will be glorified, the believers who will enjoy glory with Jesus Christ, are the ones built on the foundation of the apostles. It's the people who believe the message of the apostles who will be in glory with Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is saying in Ephesians 2 when he says we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ as the cornerstone. But we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And so if the apostles are our foundation in glory, if it's the church that believes them that is in glory, what are we doing when Christians today are discounting or calling into question what the apostles taught? If they start to chip away at the teachings of Paul, the teachings of Peter, the teachings of John. There was a video going around a while back of a man taking down an old silo just with a sledgehammer. And he's just chipping away at one panel at a time. And the reason it went viral is because it was a dumb idea the way he was doing it. And he barely escaped with his life. But he took down, it was one man by himself with one sledgehammer. And he just chipped away one panel at a time. And eventually the whole thing just came, almost crushed him, came tumbling down. But all it took was that just a single hit with that sledgehammer, one at a time. Friends, when we start to destroy the foundation of the church, the apostles, and we try, say, well, we're just listening to Jesus, we're not going to listen to Paul, you are chipping away at the foundation. But in reality, when we attack the foundation of the church, we don't destroy that foundation. Maybe a better analogy is a building in a tornado that's being pulled off of its foundation. We don't destroy the apostles when we give them up or when we call them into question. We get pulled off of that foundation. And eventually, you know, you can imagine that wind whipping against the house and a little piece of the foundation, it comes loose from a little bit of the foundation and a little bit more until that house is no longer on that foundation. And friends, it is tragic when we look at some of the churches in our country today who have abandoned the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are completely off of that foundation because they started by calling into question the word of God, the what the apostles taught. And as our confession says, they have so degenerated as to become no churches of Christ. Friends, that is the danger. That we as a church, when we call into question, if we do not believe the word of God through his apostles, that we become no church of Christ. And there are many churches today who are leading people in a direction where they will not be in glory with Jesus Christ. This has eternal consequences. Do you believe and hold fast to the whole word of God that he's given to us? Where do you go for hope and joy in times of suffering? Where do you turn? Do you go to the words of the apostles that Christ has given us? When a loved one passes away, go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and to 1 Corinthians 15 to the Apostle Paul's words about the resurrection. And when the powers of the world are opposing Christ and persecuting Christians, go to the Apostle John's words in Revelation and see how God is in control of this whole drama of history and what the end of that story will be. And when people scoff at you for believing that this world was created by God and that this world will end, go to the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3 and be encouraged by them. When it seems like no one else is serving Christ and you're standing alone in serving Christ, go to the Apostle Matthew in Matthew 24 and 25 where he relates to us the words of Jesus about the end and how God will reward his servants. We need that whole apostolic truth, all of these books that God has given us, the whole word of God, if we're going to stand firm against the hardships and persecutions and the deception of false teaching that go on now and will go on in a greater way at the very end. But maybe this morning you don't believe what the apostles said at all. Maybe you don't believe this gospel. Maybe you've been listening to some of these people who say, well, Paul didn't really have it right. Or these were people who were products of their time and really, the New Testament can't be trusted completely. And maybe you are in that place of doubt, that place where you have no faith in these things. And maybe you think, well, as long as I believe in God, okay, I just need to believe in God and I trust in Jesus, but I just don't believe all of this, the rest of this stuff. Maybe you don't like something that Paul said and you say, well, I don't want to hear that. I believe in God and I'm all set. But friends, what made the difference in this for the Thessalonians? It was that they had believed the apostles' gospel. They had believed they were to hold fast to his traditions that he had given them authoritatively. believe the gospel in the way that Jesus has given it to us, in its completeness, with all of the truths that come with the gospel and the teaching of the apostles. Paul says here it's through our gospel, the gospel of the apostles, that God uses, that God chooses to call his people to himself. As I said, we can create a cushy feeling Jesus if we want to. If you have the choice to eliminate any words you want from Jesus' teaching as something that his apostles added, you can create a Jesus that will make you comfortable in your sin. But friends, he has given us an uncomfortable message. All of us are uncomfortable reading the Bible at times because it's God's word to us and it challenges us and it convicts us. And that's what we need, because following Christ is costly, but it is worth it. As Paul says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So hold on to this gospel in the way that Jesus has given it to us. Stand fast and hold on to this apostolic word of God. It's how you know, it's how any of us know Jesus Christ. And it's how you and I will be with him in glory. So brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to this apostolic word of God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, there are many false teachers in this world already. You've warned us about that. You've warned us that there will be even greater false teaching at the very end. And so, Lord, give us great faith by your grace to believe and hold fast to the truth of your word, so that we're not shaken, so that we're not ripped off of our foundation, so that we have true saving faith in Jesus Christ that will weather all of these storms. Lord, please help us to see through the false teaching that's going on around us, and even to see through the deception in our own hearts at times. We thank you for the amazing gift that you gave us through the apostles of this faith once delivered to the saints. And give us the courage to pass it on to our children and to the next generation and to the lost who are around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.